Well, I wonder if we could turn to the Psalm 86 for a scripture reading this evening. To the 86th Psalm, and we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter. The Psalm 86, and beginning our reading at verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. I want to think about those last words there, the last verse. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Now, this is a psalm of David, and it is like many of David's other psalms in that he's looking for the mercy of God and for his help in the midst of trouble. It's one of the five psalms that are called prayers or entitled prayers. Now, many of the psalms have prayers in them or petitions in them, but those five psalms are prayers solely. And if you count up, if you were to look through the psalm again and count up, you'll find that there are 15 petitions in this psalm. So the psalmist is not afraid to ask God, and he's not afraid to ask God for many things. Now, I concede that if you look at many of the petitions, maybe really in some of them they amount to the same thing. But he is willing to request and make his petitions known to God, and there's petition after petition. And you think of the old adage that says that we are coming to a king, large petitions with us bring. But you notice the circumstances that prompt the man of God here to pray. If you look at verse 14, he says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. So this is an hour of trouble, and we can read between the lines here, and it seems as if the psalmist's life is in danger. It looks as if there's a violent group of men who have set out to kill him, and he's on edge too. He seems to be down and depressed over the circumstances that he's facing. And even at the end of the psalm, there seems to be the same condition. He's still looking for the help of God. And we can think of how there's hardly a psalm that David does not mention his enemies and ask God for help. And these enemies are ever present and we think of all of that. But I want you to see that there's a remarkable verse or stanza here in this prayer. If you look at verses 11 and 12, he says, in the midst of his trouble, he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." So while in many of the Psalms, this Psalm 2, he's looking for help in the midst of trouble, I want you to see that you have an indication of David's greatness here, in that most of us, when we're looking for deliverance or for help or for guidance or such things, we are just concerned with what the Lord can give us. But David here, in the midst of everything, is looking for the will and the direction of God. He knew that he had a heart that was prone to wander. And so he says, "Lord, direct my heart, direct my way." And that's something that we need in these days, that God would direct our ways and our hearts. But I want you to see that this man here knows how to petition God. And he looks for a sign of the favor of God. If you look in verse 16, he says there, "O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid." Turn and have mercy. And you see the verbs there, turn, have mercy. And then in the words of our text, show me a token for good. He's looking here for a sign that God is going to move and to bless. And surely that's something that we would crave for and long for at the start of this year. That token for good. That token that God is going to bless. That God is going to fight for us and make himself known in the midst. So for a few minutes tonight, we want to think of this particular petition of David's here, that we might be shown a token for good. And notice the evidence that we crave here. He says, "Show me a token for good." And he is looking for this token or sign. He's looking for this evidence. As we say, the psalmist wants evidence or a sign that God is going to help him. And he wanted some evidence that God was listening to his prayer. Now, we can think of many tokens that God has given in the past. You think of the rainbow that was given to Noah as a token that God would no more destroy the world with a flood. Or you think of how the Israelites had the token of the blood upon the doorposts and upon the lintels, the token that God was going to pass over. It was a token of the promise of God. Or the shadow on the sundial of Ahaz. Or you think of the token that was given to Hezekiah of 15 additional years of his life. God grants his people at times tokens for good. And it's a wonderful thing when we get the tokens from God, that evidence that he is working on our behalf. Now, I want you to think about this token that we are looking for tonight, that David was looking for. I want you to see that it is a permitted token. In the thought that this is a token from God, and it is a token that he's allowed to ask for. It's a token that's in the will and plan of God. He's not asking for something flashy or flamboyant. He's not looking for a show here. He's not looking for the kind of signs that perhaps you would have in the charismatic movement that are just for show and for flamboyance and all the rest. He is looking for something that God permits, something that, well, it's not a flashy sign or something fleshly. It is something that God will give as just a token that he is coming to meet with him. It is a permitted token. It is something that God can give. But it's also a prayer answering token. That's what he wants. This is the thing that he's looking for. He's looking that his prayer might be answered. And you can see that down the psalm, how that many times he is really looking for God to answer prayer. Look at verse 1, for example. He says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." Or you look at verse 6, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications." And it's certainly a token for good. When the Lord hears our prayers, when the Lord gives ear to our petitions, and we think of how David rightly said that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And there are times when God doesn't seem to hear the prayers of his people, and we are harboring sins, we're harboring fleshly desires in our hearts, and there are times when it seems as if God does not hear his people. And the psalmist is conscious of this. He says, "Bow down thine ear, Lord, hear me." Isn't that what we want as we have come this evening to the place of prayer? That the Lord would turn to us, that the Lord would hear us, that the Lord would embrace the petitions that we bring to him. Thank God that we come to a God that loves us. You know, sometimes, particularly among the Roman Catholics, they are often taught the conception of God as some kind of an ogre in the heavens to whom we have to go and we have to press the matter that he might give us anything. But that's not what we find in the Bible. We have a God of compassion and a God of love and a God who reaches down to bless his people. We don't have to draw the blessings out of God. God wants to give us the blessings that we need. And we see that the token here is a token, that it is a permitted token, but it's a prayer answering token. But then I want you to see that it is a token of praise or a token of joy. We live in a world where we don't have much joy anymore. We think of how many people today are down and depressed, and this old world and the stresses and strain gets on top of us. But I want you to see that part of the token for good here is that God's people rejoice. And you can see that in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." So this is a blessing of spiritual joy, deep down joy. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, "In thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So if we have a token for good and if with the blessing of God, one of the marks of that ought to be joy. One of the fruit of the part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, and so on and so forth. Joy in our hearts. You know, the world will want to rob us of our joy. The devil will want to rob us of our joy. But we think of the precious promises that there are in the Word of God, and he promises that he will give us blessings pressed down, shaken together, full and running over. There are rich tokens of good that the psalmist wants to give us. The Lord wants to give us joy this year. And then the tokens, or the token of good, must include plenteous mercy. We need the plenteous mercy of God. Look at the third verse here and the fifth verse. Verse 3 says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." And verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." So he's speaking about mercy. We need mercy. We need cleansing. This old world is a world where the dust and the dirt and the tokens of sin cling to us as we go about day by day. We sin against the Lord. We need the mercy of the washing of the precious blood of the Lamb. And that is a token for good. When we can come and with all our inconsistencies and inadequacies and iniquities, that we can bring ourselves to the throne of grace, where Jesus answers prayer, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's a token for good. And then there's the token of God's power. Look at verse 16. He says, "Give thy strength unto thy servant." Don't we need that? We need God's strength. We need God's strength. We need God's power as we enter into this year. The psalmist here is crying in the midst of trouble. Oh, as we say, he seems to be cast down. And when we're cast down, strength really is robbed from us. We're tired. We're weary. If you've been ever cast down, you will know the symptoms of being tired and weary. And you don't want to go forward. You don't want to go on. And here's the psalmist, and what's he want? He wants the strength of God. Oh, how we need that strength for the incoming day. Surely we need God's delivering mercy. And you know, our testimony, our personal testimony, should be like the psalmist in the 34th Psalm. He said, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." So we think of the token for good. It is a token of God's mercy, of joy, of strength, of power, all of these things. Those are the tokens, the signs that we want as we head into this incoming year. So we notice the evidence that we crave. But then look at the entitlement we possess. Because here is a prayer, and the psalmist is making the prayer to God. He says, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed," and so on. He speaks there to the Lord and brings his petitions to God. But the thing that we need to ask ourselves as we look at any of these prayers in the Bible is, have I the entitlement to pray that prayer? Because there are some prayers in the Bible, many prayers, that are specific to the situations in which they are placed. You think of the many prayers that were made by the children of Israel in the midst of their need or going through the wilderness, and those prayers were specific to the wilderness, asking for manna from heaven and so on. We have not entitlement to ask those prayers because we're not in the same position. Or you think perhaps maybe a better example is Samson. When Samson was captured, remember, after the secret of his strength was revealed, and he was amongst the Philistines and they were making sacrifices and worshipping their god Dagon. And you remember how Samson prayed for strength so that he might once more vindicate the name of the Lord. And the Lord gave him strength. He was able to push down the pillars of the place where he was, and the Philistines were slain in the midst. Now, that was a specific prayer for a specific purpose. Now, there's not very much thought of the fact that we would be in the same position as Samson. So, there are prayers in the Bible that are for specific situations. So this prayer, we need to know, do we have the entitlement to bring this prayer to God? We have thought about the token for good, but can we pray this prayer? Well, I think that we can. And I think that we can for a number of reasons. Because as you look at the prayer, you'll see that the prayer, for example, is based on the grounds of God's mercy. If you look again at verse 13, he says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." And he comes to God upon the basis of the mercy. You'll see again verse 3, "Be merciful unto me." Or verse 5, that God is plenteous in mercy. So through the psalm, he's pleading the mercy of God. And that helps me to see that I can ask this too. because I come, we all come, upon the grounds of the mercy of God. We come pleading the precious blood. We come because we're redeemed, bought with a price. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by the new and living way which he hath opened for us, that is to say, his flesh. If you look at verse 2, if you have a margin to your Bible there, I want you to look at the marginal reading of the verse. The verse says, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy, for thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." And if you have a margin there, you'll maybe see that the word holy there can be translated favor. "Preserve my soul, for I am one whom thou favorest," we could say. Or we could render it mercy. "Thou art one on whom thou hast had mercy." And that is a description of every child of God. We are those on whom the Lord has had favor. We are those on whom the Lord has had mercy. So on that ground, I can come and plead this prayer. And then there's something else here. Another reason why I can plead this prayer, because of the circumstances that we face. The circumstances in which the psalmist was placed, I can identify. You can see there, sometimes we are facing different circumstances. But here I want you to see that the psalmist here is facing similar circumstances. You'll see the ground or the circumstance if you look at verse 15. He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." So he says that this is a circumstance in which he is being pressed upon. He is one who is suffering here. He speaks about in verse 14, "O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them." And you'll notice the mention of assemblies of violent men. In other words, they'd got together. There was a unity amongst them. Now, violent men usually fight among themselves. One of the characteristics is that they'll fight with anybody if they have the characteristic of being violent. But what brings them together here? Hatred of God's people and hatred of God. That brings a unity among them. And you'll see these scoundrels here. You wouldn't expect unity amongst them, but they're brought together here against the people of God. And notice what else David says about them. He says, they have not set thee before them. So they are the kind of people of no thought or consideration of God. And they are against the gospel and against the things of God. And the psalmist is suffering because of this. Now, we cannot really compare ourselves to the psalmist. We're different circumstances in that regard. But nevertheless, we are facing those who have no regard for God or for the things of God, and who have different thoughts and different attitudes, and maybe even come with different cultures. But one of the things that unites the enemies of God in these days is their hatred of God. There is that hatred of God in this day. And the psalmist says in verse 7, "In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." He comes in the day of trouble. And this is a day of trouble for the work of God, a day of difficulty for the work of God. And in the midst of the difficulty and the trouble, that's when the psalmist asks for a token for good. So again, that encourages me to ask, because we're facing similar circumstances. So we come on similar grounds and we come in similar circumstances. But then we come to to the same God. We come to the God of heaven. Look at verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. We come to the same God, a God who is willing to meet with us, a God who is willing to bless, a God who loves us with an everlasting love, full of compassion, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. And so you can see here that we have some right to ask for the token for good. But there's one more thing that I want you to see here that encourages us to give us a token for good, and that is that God is willing to teach us. Notice verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." And the person who would come to God and would have the token for good is a person who wants to walk in the way of God. "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Show me the way that you want me to go. I will walk in thy truth." So we can be encouraged tonight that we have a right and an entitlement to bring our petitions to the Lord. So we see the evidence that we crave and the entitlement that we possess to ask for the blessing. But then look again just at the entreaty that we make. "Show me a token for good." Now, I want you to think about the sense of the words here, because the words literally mean in the Hebrew, "Make with me a token for good." So there's a sense in which David himself wants to be the token. He wants to live a life of victory. He wants to be one that the enemies of the Lord will look to, and they will see God's blessing upon him, and they will recognize that God is his God, and they will recognize that all glory and honor is to be brought to God. So David wants to be the example here. He wants to be the one who is the token for good. I wonder what kind of example we leave in this day. I wonder, when others see us, do they see in us a token for good? We see the sense of the words. But then I want you to see the strategy for the words. What is the ultimate thing that David is looking for? He says, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed." And his desire was that God might be glorified. His desire was that the enemies might see the power and the grace and the goodness and the majesty of God. You think of those days when the children of Israel entered into the promised land and they conquered Jericho and Ai. And you remember as the nations, the Canaanites, all looked, the Moabites and so on, looked at them, we read that the fear and the dread of them came upon the heathen. We read about Ehud in the days of the judges, and he slew an army of 10,000 Moabites. And it says, "So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. They saw that God was in control. They saw the might of God, and they recognized the captain of the host. They recognized the God who was in control. Oh, that the world might see the riches of God's grace today, that they might see the glories of our King today. Oh, that we might see the token for good, that the world might see in us and those around us that God is working in this day and generation. But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the expectation that we have. I want you to think about a number of things that will be true if God gives us the token for good. And the first thing is, of course, that we'll have an up-to-date experience with God. If God was to give us this token for good this evening, we would have that up-to-date experience with God. You know, there are many people and are living on an old experience or a dead experience. Many people are content with the formal and the outward and the old. How we need an up-to-date experience with God today. He wants to give us a token for good today. That's what he wants. He wants the world to see the power of God in him. And many today are careless and indifferent about the things of God. We have trouble sometimes getting people to come to attend meetings and all the rest, going to church. Many people have no thought of God at all out there in the world. Oh, that the world might see the glories of our God. But then we need a token for good that the world might see. You know, we think of the illustration that was made about D.L. Moody. And President Woodrow Wilson told the story about D.L. Moody one time in 1914. He recounted about many years ago, from 1914, many years before 1914, that he had met D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had come into a barber shop. This president was in the barber shop. And this man, he said, quietly came and sat in the chair. And he said, every word that he uttered, he said, showed a personal and vital interest in the man that was serving him. And he said that everybody was aware they were not attending an evangelistic service, but they were aware that this man had an interest in the welfare of the souls of those that were round about him. And he said, I purposely lingered after he left. Of course, it was Mr. Moody, it was D.L. Moody. He said, I purposely lingered after he left and noted the singular effect of his visit had upon the barbers in that shop. And he said, I felt that I left that place as I should have left a place of worship. My, what an effect he had. Others, when they were in his presence, went out of his presence as if they'd left a place of worship. And surely we need tokens for good in this day, that the world might see, the world might know in us that God has worked, that God is with us of a truth. And so, like the psalmist tonight, can we pray the prayer, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope on me and comforted me. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word this evening, and we bring this petition to thee. Lord, show us a token for good. As we enter into this year, may we have the signs, the evidence, the tokens that God is moving. The little cloud, the size of a man's hand. O God, we pray for the moving of God in the midst, that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, that thou wouldst look upon us, draw many to thyself, bring new faces in on the Lord's day. Lord, bless thy people. O God, build us up. Even give us that token for good. Give us that interest, that longing for the things of God, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing from thyself, that there may not be room enough to receive it. Bless us even in our time of prayer tonight. Pour out that spirit of supplication upon us and help us to pray and to seek the face of God. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Well, let's unite together at the throne of grace.